Goldie year, 1961. The Dovells there with the one, the only, Jerry Gross. And by the way, he's right here on Alan's Golden Oldies. And welcome to Texas Fair, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Alan. It's been a while since we've been to Fort Worth, but it's great being on the air with you.
Well, thank you so very much for taking out your time, because I heard that you are really busy. You're making a movie, you're doing some more music, and you're doing concerts, right?
We're doing everything you just said.
I took all the words out of your mouth. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you do the talking. I want you to tell all our listeners out there how Jerry got started with the group called the Dovells, okay?
Sure.
Go for it.
Okay, well, actually started, we were in high school, with Overbrook High School in Philadelphia. We were the school singing group. We were called the Brooktones because we went to Overbrook and auditioned for Cameo Parkway Records. They liked the sound. We recorded a song that Lenny wrote called No, No, No. It was a local hit. Sold about 30,000 copies. And then while we were recording, they gave us a tune called Out in the Cold Again. It was a ballad. And while we were recording that, the promotion man, his name is Billy Harper, walked in and he said, there's a new dance that they're doing at the Goodwill Fire Hall in Bristol, Pennsylvania. He said, you really want to see this. And he put on the students' record every day of the week, and he started stomping all over the studio. And they really liked it, and he said, it's called The Stomp. And the guy said, go home. We came in 2 days later, and we finished Out in the Cold Again. They said, here, we're going to record this. It was called the Goodwill Stomp, and we didn't like the name Goodwill Stomp. So they changed it to Bristol Stomp, and we actually recorded it that night. And that was it. The song came out. That was the summer of 61, and it came out, and actually it broke out of the Midwest. The first big order came out of Chicago. There's a bunch of radio stations in the Midwest that were playing it, and I remember Burning Low calling me, and he said, you guys have a hit record. I said, what's that mean? He said, well, he said, get the group together, you're going to be on Bandstand tomorrow. And we went on Bandstand and the next day, and that's it. From there, the record just exploded nationally. And that's how it started, man. You know, it was just a crazy time. And next thing I know, we're on the road, we're doing one-nighters, and then our first big week-long engagement was at a theater in Detroit, the Fox Theater in Detroit. And it was a crazy show. It was ourselves, Ray Charles, Fabian. I mean, I didn't understand that combination. Gloria Lynn, Timmy Euro. It was a great time, great show. And I'll never forget, our dressing room was on like the second floor. And this girl singing group used to come and sing outside behind the theater. And we actually brought them up on the fire escape. They had a real big window into the dressing room. And we were singing with them, and they were singing. I remember telling them, stick with it, girls. You girls are great. And a couple years later, they hit, and that was the Supremes.
My goodness, Diana Ross and the Supremes, huh?
It was. Diana, Cindy. Yeah, there was.
Let me ask you this. How old were you at that time?
I was 18.
18. And how many members of your group?
There was five of us in the very beginning of the Bristol Stomp. On this show, there was five people. It was myself, Len Borsoff, who's Len Barry, Arnie Silver, changed his name to Arnie Satin, Mike Frieda, changed his name to Mike Dennis, was actually his middle name, and Jim Mealy, who I don't know why changed his whole name to Danny Brooks. And Mark Stevens, originally Mark Radesky. Mark would fill in on different occasions and would record with us sometimes. So we were originally, but the five of us, Mark went out to do a single. He didn't want to do the group thing. He went out to do a single, try to record as a single, do a Bobby Darin thing. And the five of us hit the road, and that lasted for 6 months. And then Jimmy dropped out of the group. We had to let Jimmy go for health reasons, and which later killed him in the 70s. And it was four of us until the end of 63. And a Christmas show in 63, the three of us split with Len, difference of opinions. And he went his way, we went ours. And we were three until 1975, when Arnie gave me, it was 2 weeks. Well, actually, we were three, and then Mark came back with us. So we were four again, and we traveled that way until 1968. In 1968-69, we wrote and produced the record Here Come the Judge, and we called it, we put it out under the name The Magistrates. I don't know why we didn't do it under the Dovells, but we added a girl to the group just for a couple vocal parts. Her name was Jeannie Yost. Real name was Jean Hillary. No, that was her stage name, right? Jean Yost was her real name. And Here Come the Judge flew up the charts, and we performed as The Magistrate sometimes as part of the Dovell shows. And it was fun. We had a lot of fun with it. And then Mike Frieda, Mike Dennis, same person, Mike decided he wanted to leave the group. He got into the Woodstock generation and told me one day he left his body and was floating over Manhattan.
Oh, really?
And all the things that he saw. And we thought it was crazy. But everything he told us back then is weird about food and health and the way you eat and how do you take care of yourself. Everything he said back then, 30 years later, is what your doctors are telling you. So it was, you know, did he leave his body? I don't know. But whatever he saw and whatever he felt back then actually came to pass. And Mike is living in Florida right now. We see him every now and then. He runs cruise ship promotions. And then there was me, the ones that were left was me, Mark, and Arnie. We continued from 69 to 75. And 72, the rock and roll revival hit, and things got bigger than ever. And we were working in Vegas 12 weeks a year. Every fourth month, we were in Vegas at the Flamingo Hotel. And we really hit it big in Vegas. The reviews were just phenomenal. And we were out there for a while, and we almost moved out. But a couple of our wives didn't want to leave their family, so we did not. And just went on tour. We were back on tour doing Richard Nader shows and the Rock and Roll Revival tours. And then in 75, Arnie decided he was leaving the group because he was just done. He was done with the road. So he left. He gave us 2 weeks' notice. You know, after, you know.
Well, it's hard to work those one-night stands.
It's real difficult.
Day in and day out.
We weren't just doing one-nighters. We went into a lot of nightclubs. We were doing a lot of the Sheratons and the Americana clubs, hotels and Sheratons and the Hyatts. They all had showrooms. And we did a lot of those rooms. But we were traveling. We did 2 weeks in at home and then 2 weeks we were out. And it was difficult. And in Vegas, I remember in Vegas, we were out there in the end of, beginning of 74, or the end of 73, and I said to my wife, they just extended us for two more weeks, get on a plane and come on out. She said, what am I going to do with the kids? Is to bring them with you. And my daughter was seven, my son was 9 months, and she threw him on a plane, she came out, we self-taught her, you know, homeschooling. I got her work. The school worked with us. They were very nice and did her, you know, actually when we got back from Vegas, she was ahead of her class. And my son was only 9 months old, but it was great. We had a great time in Vegas. The only problem we had out there was trying to keep my daughter out of the casinos. She couldn't understand why at 7 years old, what were all these lights and bells and whistles and why she can't go play. And I remember getting a call one morning. I mean, you know, you finish working at 2 in the morning. I got a call at 7 in the morning. Mr. Gross, can you come down and get your daughter? She's in the casino again. So, yeah, it was, Stacy was a handful, but it was great. It was a great time. Like I said, and Arnie gave us 2 weeks' notice, said, I just can't do it anymore. And we understood. He said, well, can you give us a little more time, see what we could do here? And he said no, and we called Len to see if Len wanted to come back, and Lenny was pretty off the wall, and he didn't want to do that. So Mark and I had a gig that Saturday night, and I called the club owner. I said, look, we're only two guys. He says, well, can you do it? I said, yeah, of course we can do it. We went on, and what happened that night was magical. Mark and I just hit that stage, and it almost became a Martin and Lewis type of show. The comedy was really funny. The place was laughing hysterically. The songs worked. The band jumped in and filled in the harmony parts. And that was it. From that point on, we went, and I called Forrester Mashbeer was the gentleman's name, the entertainment director of the Flamingo Hilton. And I said, Forrester, I said, we're coming in there next month. There's only two of us. He said, well, what happened? I told him. I said, but I told him what happened on stage. He said, well, he said, let's keep the contract the same. He says, you guys do a phenomenal job here. And he says, if it's as good as you say it is, he says, we won't have to adjust anything. And we came out there to standing ovations and reviews that's one of the reviews are in the package I'm sending you. Zaniest new comedy to hit the strip, hottest thing since Martin and Lewis. I mean, it was just great. So I'll send you some of those reviews that we got in Vegas. And that was it. I said to Mark, I said, that's it. We're not going back. I said, I don't want to fill the front of the stage with phony guys, guys that weren't there and guys that are not, you know, weren't original. Any original guys want to come back. I want to keep a place open for them. They never did. And what we did is we just filled in the harmony parts with band members. And we carry a 7-piece horn band. And it's just full. It's fat. It's exciting. The energy is still there. And I can't believe it. I'm still doing it in 2007. And I thank God that we're still healthy enough to go out and do it. The only thing I realize is that, I mean, I'm a ski fanatic. And Mark and I love to ski. And the only thing I realized last year on stage, we were in a concrete amphitheater and doing the Bristol Stomp. Both knees were like hurting. I went, this is what did it. This dance ruined my knees. It wasn't all. My wife said, your sports are going to kill you, because I played football and then I was a skydiver for 7 years, you know, got close to 500 jumps and scuba dive and skiing and, you know, and martial arts. I trained and taught martial arts for 30 years. And I know that's where I blew one knee out and the other one, I did skiing, but I know it was the Bristol Stomp. Thank God for the Bristol Stomp, but I know that dance. It hurts now when you do it, man.
By the way, let our listeners know how the name Bristol became that stomp.
Bristol?
Yes. Where
Bristol,
is it?
Well, at Bristol, it's Bristol, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
It's about 10 miles north of Philadelphia, 10 to 15 miles north of Philly. And the stomp started there at the Goodwill Fire Hall. That's it. They called it the Stomp. We called it the Bristol Stomp, and Dick Clark played it, and that was it. You know, just bang, it hit, and we went on Bandstand. We were on Bandstand many times.
Well, let me ask you this: you had a follow-up hit after you did the Bristol Stomp. You started another dance crave.
Well, that wasn't my idea. I wanted to follow it up with. There's a song, I'm sure you have it, called "Stomping Everywhere."
Okay, let me.
That should have been the follow-up to the Bristol Stomp, and it would have really, I think, it would have gone right up there into the top 10. But the record company said, "Well, we can't jam the same song down the public's throat." So this other record is out there, and there's another. They're doing another dance called the Continental. So why don't we do that? So they wrote the new Continental for us, and that became our second record that came out and hit the charts.
Well, here they are, the Dovells. Oh, let's do that new Continental walk.
Yeah. This thing's all brand new. Continental, Continental. country jumping. Everybody's feet are thumping. Cause we dig this Christmas stomping. Stomping here.
Golden Oldies with the Dovals there, and Jerry Gross is still with them after all these years. I see what you were telling me about that song. It does sound just like the Bristol Stomp, but it's cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's a good song, good melody. That should have definitely been the follow-up, but it wasn't.
But you had another big hit doing the Continental.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Hey, tell everybody about your website and all the little products that you have out there.
Just go on the Dovells website. It's thedovells.com or dovells.com, either one. And just click on and you'll see pictures. There's pictures of us with the president when we did the inaugural ball with President Clinton. I think those pictures are up there. They should be. As a matter of fact, while I have you here, I'm going to go check that out myself.
Oh, okay. You can do that.
I actually forget.
Well, Gary does a great job of your website.
Gary's a great guy.
He sure is.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and he's a guy like you, man. Just grew up with it, you know, loves to do it. And let me turn the sound down here.
Yep, there, I can hear it on the air back there in the background. So we'll be able to pick that up for all our listeners, okay? All right, go to the website.
Yeah, dovells.com, and our CD's on there, has the original cuts plus the recuts. We have a new CD coming out the end of the year with a lot of new things. We'll have a couple live CDs going up there shortly. The TV show that we're doing, we'll have the DVD available. So there's going to be a lot of stuff. TheDovells.com, or drop us, you know, sign into our website and let us know you heard this on Alan's Golden Oldies, and love to, you know, answer you guys back. Anybody has any questions, love to answer them for you.
How do you feel now that they finally released the Parkway Cameo sets of all the music of all the artists?
I think they're 20 years late.
I think they're a little bit longer than that. I know. You know, everybody that was a record collector was protesting that they did not release it. Even you, the artists, were feeling the same pinch on that.
That's right.
And the only thing that was going on, a lot of the records, the 45s, were disappearing out of existence, and you could not find the music anywhere.
Right.
And
Yeah, I was sad. And the only thing you could get, there were some bootlegs out of Europe. And yeah, it was sad. Like I spoke to Jody Klein, who owns the Masters, owned APCO, and he's done a very nice job with it. I'm thrilled that he did release it. It's opened up our music to a lot of places that haven't heard it for years. I mean, you weren't able to buy Dovell stuff for basically 40 years. Yeah, I mean, there's other things. There was some, you know, Time Life stuff. There was some jukebox memories and the Billboard stuff. There was one or two. You can get Bristol stomp and you can't sit down. But to get a lot of the artists, it just wasn't available.
Well, this next song that I'm fixing to play, you couldn't find this one unless you already had it on a 45 RPM vinyl. Are you ready for this one?
Well, is it the one I think you just got?
Well, no, not yet. We're going to talk about that one in just a moment, but let's not let our listeners know about that yet.
Okay.
We're going to surprise them with that next song. They're not going to believe it. But this one, give a listen. Here we go, Jerry. Here we go.
Relive that magic moment one more time. Alan's Golden Oldies.
Bristol Twisted Eddie.
All right.
Bristol Twisted Eddie. Lay your twisted down.
More platter, less chatter. It's Alan's Golden Oldies.
Right.
featuring the one, the only, Jerry Gross. Hey, we did the Hully Gully there, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure did.
Was that fun or not? Gosh, I tell you what, you created so many different types of dances, and I was telling you off the air, I said, my goodness, being as young as you are today, you got to teach them all how to do those dances all over again.
Yeah. But you know what's amazing is we get some of the teenagers in some of our shows, they know the dances. I'm amazed.
I want you to tell everybody about this next record, and I'm going to let you introduce it, but before you do, why don't you tell the history about She Loves You.
We were recording, and again, Swan Records, I think it was Tony Mamarella from Swan Records, and he was friends with Bernie Lowe, and he comes over, he says, I just got this record in from England. He said, the group is starting, he said, they're on the charts now with I Want to Hold Your Hand. He said, you guys may want to do this. And we heard it, and we said, yeah, we'll do it. And we recorded it, and Cameo Parkway, they were tied up recording everybody else. They took so long to get it out, and they had a release date set, and the Beatles came out with it and beat us out with it by 2 weeks.
I want you to introduce the song.
And this is the Dovell's version of She Loves You.
She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah.
That's right, She Loves You. Can you imagine there, Jerry? If that would have been your big hit, you'd be working with the Beatles.
Could I imagine? Yeah, I could imagine.
And all that money could have been rolling right in. But you're only going to hear that song right here on Alan's Golden Oldies. And by the way, is that going to be offered in one
of
your packages?
That's going to be on your CD that's coming out towards the end of the year, yes.
Yeah, go to their website. Tell them that website once again.
Dovells.com, DOVELLS.com.
And you can email them and talk to them, and I guarantee you, Jerry, he'll answer you back, right?
Absolutely, we do.
Hey, on your tour, were you with the? Did you do anything with the Caravan of Stars?
Oh yeah, we did. You mean Dick Clark's show, Caravan of Stars?
Yes.
Yeah, we were on one probably every other month.
Well, tell a story of what happened on the bus.
There was a couple things. We had some crazy times on that bus, man. I mean, it was just one time we were up in Vancouver, and Chuck Berry was having a problem getting paid. He decided he wasn't going. I mean, Bo Diddley, and he hadn't gotten his money yet, and he was refusing to go on, and they had to figure out something with Canadian funds to American funds. So everybody went on, did their show, and he refused to go on, and the place started chanting, "We want Bo," and they sold beer up there on the bottle, and it got so out of hand that they came back to the dressing room and said, "Everybody get back on the bus," and they actually pulled the bus out of there, went into a neighborhood and just parked, and like 15,000 people started throwing beer bottles, and they were just smashing in the air. When we came back, they canceled the show. They stopped the rest of the show, sent everybody home. We came back in. I've never seen anything like it. There was like an inch of glass on the entire floor of the stadium.
Really?
From all these shattered bottles. Yeah, it was wild. But some of the bus tours, I mean, we were down south with James Brown in 1962.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like that. We got on the bus with them. They called us Freedom Riders. They took shots at the bus. That's all part of the movie and the screenplay, and it's in our book that we're working on right now. The whole movie, the book is all fact. The movie has about a 3-minute fictitious comedic opening that sets it up,
mm-hmm.
and the ending is about a 60-second comedic ending that's fictitious, but it actually uses the phrase, "Your time will come and slip away, but rock and roll is here to stay."
Oh, right.
And that's the name of the movie, so.
Well, you know what? I am happy about that, because you know what? At the end of my show, I know you don't get to hear the ending of my show. I always remind my listeners, no matter what anybody says, rock and roll, it's here to stay.
That's right.
Hey, guess what? I found a copy of The Jitterbug. I'm going to play it right now.
All right, my man.
Here we go.
Can you dance? Here's your chance. Pull back the rock and let's jitterbug.
Well,
she has the combination that will win. Oh, and a beauty prize.
would steal it if you only could. Can be tired, but you can't be beat.
36, 22, 36.
Whoa, I say she looked good, and you know she looked fine. Hey,
22, 36.
Whoa, little mama, she.
Knock, 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 knock. Come on, baby, don't you knock the quiz. You can put down the Charleston, cut up the fish, but don't.
With Chubby Checker. Hey, how'd you like hearing that one?
That was great. It took me back to 1961 when we made the movie.
Tell me how you got the part for that, to be on the stage and, you know.
You know what? We went, after our first month on the road, we decided we needed a vacation. So we went to Miami, and me, Lenny, and Mike were in at the Caroline Hotel, and we got a call from our manager. And Lenny, I hear him go, it's in the morning. And he goes, hey, man, don't bother me. We're sleeping. He hangs up. I said, who was that? He goes, that was Nat, our manager. I said, what do you want? He said, oh, he's got some kind of movie thing. I said, what? You hung up with him? So I called him back. And Nat goes, what's wrong with him? I said, well, that's another story. But he said, you want to make a movie? I said, yeah. He said, well, they want you in the movie. Don't Knock the Twister. I said, when? He said, you have to come home tomorrow. You're going right to L.A. They picked us. Samuel Z. Arkoff, who made the movie, just said, the records were up there, and they got Chubby, and they said they went to Dovell's. They called us a dance craze group of the 60s, and we had Bristol Stomp and Continental out, and that was it. So we flew to California, and next thing you know, we're at CBS and Columbia Studios, and we're making a movie. Yeah, I was, 18 years old making a movie. It was great.
Oh, it was a lot of fun, I can tell. And, you know, that's a classic motion picture, and it was just released on Sony owns the Columbia Studio rights to it, and they just released it with Twist Around the Clock and Don't Knock the Twist. How about
really?
That?
How about that?
Yeah, and the quality. I mean, it's all digital. The movie looks just like a brand, like a brand new movie.
Oh,
and
I'll have to go pick a copy up. Great.
Well, listen, I know you got other things to do, so I want you to tell all our listeners anything you like to say about yourself and the group, and you take it over, right?
Okay.
Quick.
Well, first of all, let me thank you. I want to thank you, Alan. You do a phenomenal show. Your radio show is great. I've been listening to it, and your website's great. You know, alansgoldenoldies.com. And thank all the people out there. Thank you for supporting the Dovells. Hit the Dovells website, dovells.com. Let us know you're out there. If you have any questions, we'll be glad to answer them. And hopefully, Alan, when you get the new CD we send you, we'll come back and do another thing with you. It's just been great, and it's guys like you that are keeping this music alive, and your energy on the air is unbelievable. You are an exciting man, and you belong on the radio, and I appreciate everything you're doing for not only us and the music, but for the listeners out there that really love this music, because like Joe Terry said, there's nothing like it, and rock and roll is here to stay, so.
Thank you so very much, Jerry, and I do want you back on the show, and I already got a commitment out of you, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, before we go, I want you to introduce the big hit after the Bristol Stopping. You know which one. Everybody couldn't sit
down. All right, well, it was 1963, and then 30 years later, 1993, we're at the inaugural ball in Washington, and President Clinton walks up and says, "Hey, man," word for word, "Hey, man, I used to play that song." And I said, "Well, then grab your sax and play with us." And he did. I'll have to send you a copy of that, too. I have it on tape. I'll have to burn it to DVD, and I'll send you a copy of President Clinton doing "You Can't Sit Down With Us" at the inaugural. It's pretty awesome.
Here it is.
Hey, pretty baby.
You can't sit up.
Don't you hear the drummer thumping?
You can't sit up.
You got to shake it like a crazy.
You can't sit up.
Because the band is saying something.
You can't sit up.
Everybody is a jumping.
You can't sit up.
You got to slap out.
Doorbell.